Rain Show continues on this beautiful sunny fall day. First full day of fall across Saskatchewan. Hope harvest is going well. We'll be getting an updated crop report this week. I know last week they had said we were only around 53% completion, which was well off the five-year average. But hopefully these sunny, warmer, dry days pushing the combines to getting closer to completion, including Evan Bray, who's working on his family farm, helping his brother and other family members with their harvest. So, you know, the neat thing about having such a wide variety of guests on this radio program, I learn something every time I talk to somebody. So my next guest is Angel Jenneroux. Angel is with the John Howard Society, and that just got me thinking, where did they get the name John Howard? Well, Angel probably knows the backstory on John Howard, but I was just reading about it myself a while ago. Hey, Angel, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So this John Howard fella, he was a real guy, doing a lot in his lifetime to help reform prisoners, I understand.
He most certainly was, yeah.
And we continue that tradition now with the John Howard Society here in Saskatchewan. We want to talk about the difficulty that people who have got a criminal record, that they often run into when they're trying to perhaps travel or they're trying to perhaps get a job because they've got that criminal record. What does that do to an individual when they are trying to move ahead with their life, but that criminal record is stopping them?
That's exactly what it does. It stops them, and they just get stuck, and they can't move forward. It's very difficult. Let me backtrack a bit. It used to be fairly easy to get a job, even if you had a criminal record, because employers didn't ask. Now, almost every employer asks for a criminal record, and many won't employ someone if they have a record, no matter what the charges were or how old they are.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess that's the criminal record check then that you would have to fill out with your job application?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have this program through the John Howard Society that helps people get past that hurdle and make a fresh start. Tell us how that works.
Well, it starts with us doing, we'll assess their eligibility first. There's different criteria that people have to meet depending on what their charges were and what the legislation was when they were first charged. So, for example, some people, if they have what we call summary offenses, which is everybody's used to the U.S. model, which is more like a misdemeanor, if they committed those summary or were convicted before March of 2012, then they have to wait 3 years after they complete all their conditions before they can apply for a pardon. For more serious crimes, what we in Canada call indictable offenses, which in the U.S. It would be the equivalent of a felony, basically. For those, it's a longer wait period after they complete all conditions. So if they were convicted prior to March of 2012, it's a five-year wait. If they were convicted after March 2012, then it's a 10-year wait.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's good the service is there, but with those time frames, that seems like an incredibly long time to have to wait to get that suspension.
It does, but you'd be amazed at how many people you walk past every day that have a criminal record that goes back to the 80s or 90s.
Oh, for gosh sakes. So yeah. When I apply for this criminal record suspension, then, and I need to get it on my record showing that I don't have a record, I guess, if we have that kind of timeline to wait, does that leave them in a bit of limbo?
It does. You know, but you've got to be able to, the reason why there's the wait after you meet all the conditions is because you have to be able to show that you're rehabilitated.
Right.
So to speak, right? So those time periods are to show, because let's face it, if someone's gone 10 years without getting another conviction, are they really still living the criminal lifestyle?
Yeah.
Are they still involved in criminal behavior? Chances are no, they're not, that they've been rehabilitated.
So right now, if I want to apply for a job and I've got a criminal record and the employer that I'm applying to says I need to do a criminal record check, that falls on me as the individual. The employer doesn't do that, do they?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got usually you can get them done online now, or you just go to the Regina Police Service or make an appointment, go into the Regina Police Service and get your criminal record check done.
Have you got any particular stories or instances that you can look back on and see it as a wonderful positive to the idea of the criminal record suspensions?
Oh, my goodness. I have an individual who wanted to go back to school. They want to be in a healthcare-related profession, but they couldn't even go to school because where they would have to do their clinical practicums wouldn't allow them because they had a record.
Gosh.
Well, that individual started her classes at Sask Polytech this fall.
Gosh. And so how many years had transpired before she was finally able to go to school, do you know?
Oh, my goodness. She was lucky. It was 2 years ago she decided that she wanted to make this change in her life and, you know, be able to help people more. And it took about a year and a half to gather all the documents required and to wait for the parole board to make their decision. But she had been in limbo and only able to work minimum wage type jobs before then.
This criminal record suspension program you have then with the John Howard Society, is there a cost to the individual when they apply?
We don't charge any fees for our services, but there are costs associated with gathering all the documents that are required. So, like, you have to get a certified criminal record check from the Ottawa RCMP, so there's a charge for that. Then you have to pay a fee for the courts to fill out the forms that are required. Saskatchewan, the fee is very high, probably the highest in the country. They charge $100, and that's a huge barrier for people as well. Like, I'll have people that will sit unable to proceed because they just, coming up with that $100 is not easy if you're of limited finances.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I've seen ads over the years from law firms saying they can have people have their criminal record removed or expunged, whatever it may be. And I think of people who maybe wanted to travel and they had this mark on their record. Is that similar to what you do?
It is similar, only those people charge absolutely ridiculous fees.
Yeah.
And they get the individual to do the work themselves. They'll charge them the huge fee. Sometimes it's thousands of dollars. And then they send them the paperwork and say, okay, now you need to go get the courts to fill out this, and you need to get your local police to fill out that, and then you need to fill out this form and then send it all back to us and we'll send it in. I've had people that have come to me that have, you know, said, hey, I was in touch with this organization and they told me they could do it faster. And I'm like, no, it's impossible. There's no way to expedite it. Stop talking to them. Don't give them your money.
Yeah.
Come on and let's get you set up with us so that we can get this done for you at the lowest cost possible.
And then be patient.
Patience is definitely required. It takes a long time. Even once you submit the application, which that itself has a $50 fee, it used to be much higher. It used to be almost $700, but the government brought it down when cannabis was legalized.
Right.
Now I can't remember where I was going with that.
That's okay. It's a great story. It's a great service that you offer. Over the course of a year, are you talking hundreds of people or so that would access this service through John Howard?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah. Here in Regina alone, I average about 50, 60 people per year just here in Regina. And then we also have caseworkers in Moose Jaw, Saskatoon, and Prince Albert. But we provide our services province-wide. We each have a jurisdiction that we need to cover, and we can help anybody no matter where they're located in the province.
That was going to be my next question. It's great for people that are in a big city like Regina, Saskatoon, whatever, but those in the outlying areas, they're able to still access it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we end up doing things through the mail and email, and, you know, sometimes it depends. We can travel out to them. We just try to make it as easy as possible for the people that we serve so that they can, you know, continue on with their lives, and we get to deal with the headaches of gathering documents and whatnot.
Well, it's great work that you do. Angel Genereau is the Record Suspension Program Coordinator with the John Howard Society here in Saskatchewan. Lots of cool information, and we appreciate you joining us here today, Angel, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're listening to The Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Filling in on the Evan Bray Show today and again tomorrow. Evan will be back in the chair here, I assure you, coming up on Thursday morning. I was just looking at the Blue Jays schedule here. So they got six regular season games left. There are two games up on the Yankees. We've got a three-game series against Boston, who are five back, I believe. And that series gets underway today in Toronto, three-game series. And then the final series of the regular season will be Friday. Beautiful weekend series against Tampa. And, man, if you follow the Jays, Tampa, they are our nemesis. They just have ways of beating us. It's just maddening sometimes. Anyway, when it's all said and done, we'll be figuring out of the 30 teams in the major leagues, how many are going to be in the playoffs. Wild card playoffs will be next week, and it'll all come clear here come Sunday once all the regular season stuff is done. But come on, Blue Jays. They had some struggles over the past few series. They still managed to eke out some wins, but they had some ugly losses. We wish them all the best heading in towards the playoffs of Major League Baseball. Interesting new survey from the Restaurants Canada organization. This is a national organization that represents restaurants, all shapes and sizes across this great country of ours. And when you read this information, you go, yep, that sounds like me and our family situation. Bottom line is, be it inflation, be it the price of food, be it the lack of increased income, people are spending less in restaurants. And also, it shows that people are snacking more. Are you doing that? Are you making one of your meals maybe nothing more than a bag of chips? And I laugh, but it's serious here. So this survey shows that Canadians are eating in restaurants less often. And the numbers are quite startling from the Restaurant Association. They say that before the pandemic, the Canadian restaurant industry had about a 12% rate of restaurants that were operating at a loss or barely breaking even. You always hear people in the restaurant industry saying it's a tough game. Well, it's gotten even tougher because that 12% of restaurants that were operating at a loss or barely breaking even, say, 6 years ago, it is now 45% of the restaurant industry in Canada that's operating at a loss, barely breaking even. It has been consistently at this level for nearly 5 years now. And as the Restaurants Association says, this can only go on for so long. What they see is the impact on Canadians because they see restaurants are hiring fewer people. They have operations that are closing down. We have operations that are really having to make some tough decisions in communities right across the country. So what do they see as a possible aid, possible solution? Restaurants Canada is calling on the government to cut the tax on the menus. In fact, they are saying they'd like to see a test run to remove the GST off of all food for Canadians. That would have an immediate impact on their day-to-day quality of life. And that's according to Kelly Higginson, who is president and CEO of Restaurants Canada. Wouldn't that be great? Take the GST off of your food. And then the argument could also be made, well, what about the PST on the different items that we have in Saskatchewan with the PST? There's a lot of people out there don't like the fact, well, it's off the topic of food, but the whole, you got to pay PST every time an old car is sold. But at the end of the day, they're saying in this survey that 60% of Canadians ordered delivery and have replaced a traditional meal with snacking. Hey, Mom, what's for supper tonight? Well, I think we're going to have a bag of Old Dutch potato chips, Johnny. And I make light of it, but I know even in my own life, we tend to order in more than we used to. And I don't know that that's a good idea because I look at my waistline and I'm thinking, something's not going on here. And I tend to snack more as well. You know what's really become my snack of choice, and I've really got to watch it? Chocolate-covered almonds. They're my crack, okay? Chocolate-covered almonds. I'm a potato chip kind of guy. These are challenging times for a lot of Canadians and a lot of families, and challenging for a lot of people in the food service industry as well. They say more and more Canadians are eating out less, snacking more, and those that are staying home and still perhaps supporting restaurants are making use of delivery services. What I notice, though, when it comes to delivery of food from restaurants and that, it's a great service. Get it, but holy smokes, all the different fees and then your tip, and sometimes you order some food and you look at the bill and you think, man, oh man, is this really worth it? But it's the challenging times that we're living in. Interesting bit of information coming from Restaurants Canada. We're heading towards the top of the hour. Still to come today on the Evan Bray Show, right after 11 o'clock. All of this tied into Truth and Reconciliation Day, which is a week today, next Tuesday. In Regina, they're holding the Celebrating Indigenous Hockey Legends Dinner. And we've got some very special guests who are connected to that event that'll join me here just after 11 o'clock this morning. And also in the last hour of the show, we're going to be going fishing again with Winston Stockdale. Winston's an 18-year-old fellow. We spoke to him on the show a couple of months ago when I was filling in. And at that time, him and his 15-year-old brother, Will, had come off winning the Premier's Cup fishing tournament up at Tobin. Well, they recently also won the Last Mountain Fall Walleye Classic. And if you're not a fisher person, certainly at the professional level, you may not understand the prizes and the money that changes hands at these fishing tournaments. So we're going to hear from Winston Stockdale coming up just after 11:30 this morning. And then all that road work in your community. For Saskatoon listeners, we've got an update on the City of Saskatoon road construction that continues all through the summer and certainly into the fall as well. We'll get that update after 12 noon. Thanks for listening. This is the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.